Hello, everyone, and welcome to Medium Cool, a movie podcast. I'm your host, Austin Glidden, and as always, you can find us on social media by searching Medium Cool Pod on Instagram, or you can email mediumcoolpod@gmail.com, and you will go straight to me. So make sure you reach out. Let us know what you think of the films that we talk about. Let us know what you want to see, or rather, what you want to hear, our thoughts on things like that. So I am going to start off by saying, yet again, we've had a few scheduling issues. So I've kind of taken it upon myself to just start covering a lot of the 2024 stuff that I've seen just kind of on my own. I have not forgotten about Godzilla Minus One. I'm just prioritizing 2024 films. I did get a chance to finally see Godzilla Minus One. That is a movie that was requested and that will be discussed here in the coming weeks, especially as we get into kind of summer blockbuster season. You know, that'd be a fun one to kind of throw back to and say, hey, remember this movie? It's available now. But I saw it, I think it was like 2 weeks ago now or something like that. So I will talk about all that shortly. Today, however, is dedicated to a few movies. I watched, I think, a total of something like 8 or 9 2024 films with my best buddy, Brandon Thrasher. He came to visit. We just completely marathon like tons of movies. And so I'm going to talk about all of those, especially because I want to. But I also had an opportunity, thanks to A24, they sent me a screener for the new film starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus. The movie is called Tuesday. So if you get a chance to see that, go check it out. Definitely watch a trailer for it and whatnot. It is a very divisive movie. Some people are really just kind of leaning into it and just like, yes, I'm into what this is doing. Others are like, this is repulsive and I hate it. And then it's everywhere in between. Like, some people are far more forgiving than others. If you're on Letterboxd, go check out the Letterboxd. It's a full spread of opinions on that one. But I was lucky enough to see that. I think I watched that yesterday or the day before. I can't remember now. But yeah, so that was a nice one. Thanks to A24 for sending that to me. And I just want to say that I'll be covering Tuesday today. And then the other two movies that I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to say briefly, but everybody knows I'm long-winded, so it'll probably take a while. But I'm also going to talk about the other divisive film, Sasquatch Sunset. And then I will end with The Last Stop in Yuma County. It's a small independent film. You can watch it. I don't know how small it is, actually, but it is just like a little indie film, kind of a crime, kind of one location type picture. I'll talk a little bit about it here shortly, but you can pretty much for the two that have already been out, you can rent those on Prime. They may be streaming somewhere by the time this comes out. But Tuesday will be in theaters June 14th, which is this coming Friday as of this release. So definitely look for that. All that said, in the coming weeks, unless I have some special guests or something that pop up, I plan to just try to knock out and get caught up on some of the 2024 stuff while I'm getting schedules rescheduled. And and there's as always, there's a lot of work stuff going on that I'm trying to navigate as well. So, you know, we'll get through it all, but I appreciate you guys for listening. And I really hope that you enjoy these three reviews. And if you have any different opinions or you have feelings about these movies, they're either, you know, like my opinions, or maybe you just completely think I missed the boat here. Please, by all means, reach out again, mediumcoolpod@gmail.com, or you can hit us up just via message or whatever on Instagram or whatever you want to do. It will eventually get to me or the Medium Cool folks. So definitely be looking out for that. All right, cool. All that said, I'm going to start with the new A24 film coming out in theaters this Friday. It is called Tuesday. All right, thanks again to A24 for letting me see Tuesday, the film written and directed by Dana Opusik. The cast is Lola Pettigrew and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It is coming out this Friday, June 14th, 2024. And Tuesday is a fantasy drama film written and directed by Dana O'Pusick, as I said, in her feature directorial debut. It is a co-production between A24, the BFI, and BBC Film. The film stars Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Lola Pettigrew as a mother and daughter who are guided by death itself in coping with the daughter's impending death due to a terminal illness. The story unfolds as Zora, played by Dreyfus, lives with her terminally ill daughter called Tuesday. One day, death arrives in the form of a size-altering parrot and sends Zora and Tuesday on an emotional journey about life, love, and death. The film explores themes of loss, resilience, and unexpected connections, and is an interesting little enigma of a movie, I must say. I think Tuesday is a film that takes bold risks and struggles to find its tonal footing in that process. And while some elements shine, the overall execution left me left much to be desired, we'll say. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about the good of this movie first before I kind of get into some of my criticisms. And then I'll dig into some themes and we'll go ahead and close up on this movie here. So I think some of the good, Julia Louis-Dreyfus delivers a dramatic performance that I think showcases her talent. Her performance adds depth to the film, and I think Dreyfus is generally praised for her performance in the movie, from what I see. And a lot of people, even on Letterboxd and in different reviews that I've read about the film, or at least I don't even know if I actually read them, I just kind of said that by default. But well, talking to people, I should say, about the movie, it seems like people really dig it. And although I agree she did really well, I really like her in most things, I would say. Enough said is a movie from about a decade ago that comes to mind. But here, I think she's a little hit or miss for me. Now, I don't apply all of my indifference toward her performance in this to her specifically, because I think the writing really interferes with her performance. But overall, Dreyfus has some really effective dramatic moments at the very least that I cannot deny her for sure. And there are some really charming moments scattered throughout the movie that kind of provide a glimpse into something really promising, something that kind of makes me interested to see if the director can, or the writer director, I should say, if they can, what they can do with this potential, I guess, which is really exciting when you see a new filmmaker and you go, you know, I may not have been a huge fan of this movie, but I see you get something, right? And I see that here for sure. There's a wonderful scene on a beach between the mother and the daughter. This is Zola and Zora rather, and Tuesday, and they're on the beach and they have this really dramatic scene where they say very few words, but because of the context of the film, them just promising each other, just saying promise, you know, just like double, right? And just saying that back and forth and the emotional kind of journey that they go on it with their expressions and their performances, that's just like a really lovely emotional moment. And I can't deny the film that. I mean, despite any criticisms I have, there are these little sparks, you know, throughout the film that kind of keep it alive. And I also want to say that I before I get to my criticisms, I do not like hate this film. I wouldn't even go as far as to say I dislike it per se. I think it has some major issues. But I have to say this, I was pretty compelled throughout the entire film. I'll give it that. I had no idea what was going to happen. Now that I know what's going to happen, a second viewing would feel very different to me, I feel. But that first time through, I'm just like, what in the fuck is going on? Like, not in a bad way. Like I knew what was going on, but it was just like I almost couldn't believe what was going on because it was, it just seemed like it kind of kept me on my toes, so to speak. So I tossed that into the good because I think that the film does have, definitely does have some things that you can kind of grasp onto. And there is an emotional through line that if you can really buy into the emotions throughout the context of the film, I think that it can have a, it can be a pretty deep cut, right? Now, I think my wife Amanda, for example, I think had a very different experience. I think she bought in hook, line, and sinker, and I think she had a really emotional response to the film. So I think, despite the criticisms I'm about to name, I think the good can really weigh out outweigh rather the criticisms I'm going to have. And if anything, my wife is a testament to that. We just had two different experiences in that way. And I think that really also kind of reinforces the widespread of ratings on Letterboxd that you'll see if you go there. But anyways, so yeah, Dreyfuss is good. I actually really like Pettigrew as well, the other lead. I think Lola Pettigrew is actually very good here. It's also a person that I'd have to look at their IMDb again to see how well I know them. But just looking at them during the performance, I didn't really recognize them for much. So that was a really nice to kind of see a new performer that that I just respected in the role. I thought it was pretty good. Some of the not so good things, I would say, and this is really like the first one is the biggest issue with this movie, and that is the screenplay. I find the screenplay completely baffling. It really left me puzzled by a lot of its choices. A Letterboxd user said, Tuesday is a tonal disaster where bold risks are taken, but not everything works out. In fact, barely anything works out. And I think that it does take bold risks. I 100% with agree with that specific statement. I think Tuesday's trying to do a lot in the movie that is unusual, and it's either going to hit you and you're not going to be able to immerse into it, I feel like, or you're going to buy into it and be like, yeah, I'm in for the ride. Depending on which way you kind of fall, I think really is going to find out where you land, right, in the end. And so the whole time I'm watching this, I kept being reminded of the Daniels, who did Everything Everywhere All at Once and Swiss Army Man and stuff like that, because they take similarly bold risks. I don't ever imagine the Daniels making this movie. So don't take that as I think it feels like a Daniels movie directed by someone else. That's not what I mean. But I think they take similar risks. Almost everything in Everything Everywhere All at Once is a risk, I feel like, you know, like this crazy martial arts movie, you know, this, or rather a crazy martial arts scene, fight scene with dildo or like butt plug statues or what, like, dude, that's a crazy risk. Or one of the leads beating people to death with dildos, like that should not work. That should be so stupid. And it fucking rules, dude. Like that movie's amazing. So I'm sitting here watching Tuesday and I'm like, man, I just can't get the Daniels out of my head. I feel like this movie's trying to be something that risky. You know, people with hot dog fingers risky, right? Like Everything Everywhere All at Once. But Tuesday, it just does not work. And it's not that a better, more seasoned filmmaker, or especially writer, really is the key here, couldn't do that better, couldn't take this story and make something more out of it. But yeah, that's it just doesn't, I don't think this movie kind of works as is. Does it mean that it's a complete waste of your time? No. Despite my low rating, I'm glad I watched it. It's just, it's never going to reach the heights that it has the potential to reach. And I think it needed to go further. And I think it needed a seasoned hand behind the writing of this, so to speak. And a big part of that is the dialogue, I think, really falls flat. I think it really fails to resonate. I don't even think there's even much of a good line in the movie that kind of sticks with you. Not that it needs to, but this is the type of film that would. And I think the closest thing you get to it is in the context of the film, the phrase promise, promise. I think that's probably one of the most impactful things. There are a couple of lines on that beach sequence that I talked about that are pretty heavy hitters. But the film often doesn't feel authentic. So the characters seem like they're doing things strictly at the service of the movie rather than feeling like, you know, real characters. Whether it's the dialogue or it is the lack of direction, the scattered feeling, the lacking of cohesion and things like that in the story, I think really affected my experience watching the movie. Now, I also want to say that I think there is the special effects in this movie are really inconsistent as well. As someone who watches a lot of movies, of course, I'm going to notice this more than a lot of people. And a lot of people, this might not bother them. It does bother me. I don't care if CG or special effects, however you want to talk about it, whichever side of things you want to talk about here, all of which are special effects, I guess. But when you talk about special effects, it's not that I need them to be perfect, but I need them to not be distracting. That's key. Don't distract me from the movie. I don't personally want special effects to be the forefront. I want them to be like the phrase I've used before, the greatest special effects are the ones you never see, because they enhance the existing visual material there, right? People taking out scenery behind a tree line or something so that you get more of a isolated say that you're doing like a post-apocalyptic movie and you need to you want this really nice tree line, you love this setting, but in the background there is a freeway and you see cars going by. Well, a lot of times they'll just throw up like a big green screen kind of matte thing that they can cut out. And then they'll just kind of CG or use different special effects to cover that. You need it to be desolate, right? You need this to be like a post-apocalyptic landscape, and you can't have cars blazing down a freeway, right? So you'd cut that out. That's fine, because that's enhancing the already existing thing and making it better for the context of your film. And in this one, there is a parrot that can grow to like human size and go all the way down to like the size of a keychain, basically. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Though I will say, I actually really do like the character of Death in here, but I will warn you, there is a moment where Death, mind you, as in the form of a parrot, I need that to be clear, starts rapping. That's not a good time for me. Granted, the scene does play into a connection between another character and them. Does it feel forced and inauthentic? Absolutely, 100%, okay? I'm not saying that the scene is useless. I just think there are like 4 million things that you could do to establish this. And you chose the Death Parrot to rap? Yeah, talk about the tonal whiplash going back and forth between serious shit and laughter and weird, horrific stuff. I don't know, man. This movie's all over the place. But the inconsistent special effects really bothered me at times. Not the whole movie, but I want to clarify, but just enough for me to mention it, I want to say. But I will say that the film also tackles several themes that I want to touch on. The first of which is the obvious one, really. You can watch a trailer and pick this up, loss and grief. The film centers around the impending death of Tuesday, the terminally ill daughter of Zora. So, you know, this theme is pretty palpable throughout as we witness the emotional struggle faced by both Zora and her daughter. And death itself takes on a unique form. Again, not only as the self or the size altering parrot, but as a kind of confidant of sorts, or like a distant friend in a weird way. They almost befriend death in a strange way. And death kind of guides them through this painful journey. And the film doesn't shy away from portraying the raw emotions associated with loss. Does it always do so authentically, or is it always executed well? No, I'll say that. However, it's there, and I'll give it that. And these are the things that I was at least able to chew on and kind of move forward with. I'm a little even surprised when I talk about this movie, because I gave it a relatively low rating, and I'll give that to you here shortly. But I do want to say I still stand by it. It's just, I don't find this movie intolerable. So that's like, it does have potential. I just think a lot really needs to change in it for it to really reach that potential, unfortunately. Another theme that it deals with is unexpected connections. As Zora and Tuesday navigate their challenging circumstances, they form an unlikely bond with Death. Like I said, they almost befriend this Death Parrot. I think that's the funniest phrase I could say, Death Parrot. And this connection transcends the ordinary and becomes a source of comfort and understanding in a strange way. There's even a point where Tuesday, who's dealing with their impending death, there's a point where the Death Parrot kind of goes away for a while. We'll just say it that way. And Zora is kind of concerned about this parrot being gone. Like, I think part of it is like, you know, it's the death parrot. So this parrot obviously is going to take her life, you know, eventually. So part of it could be the anxiety of just not knowing what's happening or when, right? That's part of it. But I think she also kind of has a connection with death in a way where she's like, no. Where is the death parent? You know? So that's really interesting to me. I think the film suggests that even in the darkest moments, there can be, you know, an unexpected companionship and shared experiences between, you know, all parties, really, you know, people mutually kind of grieving through an impending death, the person dying with the people they're surrounded by. I mean, all of these relationships can be affected. And I think this film does and is interested in tackling those things. Whether it does it well or not, I'll leave that to you. I think all of these things, it leaves me wanting a little more, but this stuff is definitely present. I think resilience and acceptance is an important theme as well. Zora's resilience as a mother is tested for sure. She grapples with the impending loss of her daughter while, you know, trying to provide comfort and support. And Tuesday, despite her illness, exhibits courage and acceptance, and her interactions with death reveal her, deep down, her inner strength, you know, who she really is. And so, you know, I think as you watch Tuesday, you also get this sense of, you know, life's fragility and beauty. The film juxtaposes life's fragility with various moments that one might consider beautiful, whether it's a simple conversation or a fleeting glimpse of nature. These instances remind us of life's preciousness, and the kind of magical realism elements of the film, such as the, you know, talking death parrot, underscore the film's exploration of life's mysteries, I think. And so one could argue the intention or the necessity of it being this kind of death parrot, right? I think one could argue a point why that is the way it is, even if I don't think it always works. But again, I do like the death parrot. I do not when the death parrot's rapping. I need that to be clear, but I do like the death parrot. Yeah. The last theme I want to talk about is just, you know, challenging the norms. Tuesday takes bold risks by blending fantasy, drama, and emotional realism, Tuesday being the film, not the daughter. And so it challenges conventional storytelling and invites viewers to embrace the unconventional. And again, whether that works for you or not, watch it and be the judge. I would love for you to watch the movie and let me know what you think. I would love to. I don't care if you agree with me. Just let me know what you think. But I think the film encourages us to question our perceptions of life and death and the boundaries between them. And so, again, whether it is a perfect execution of these things or, you know, kind of surface level fleeting ideas, I think these are all present. And all in all, I think Tuesday is a fine movie. I don't, in the end, I was left a little cold with it, even though it does have a few really good scenes peppered throughout. And I think for me, the most interesting stuff was actually between Tuesday and the death parrot, more so than it was anything that Dreyfus's character Zora did, if I'm honest. The stuff between Tuesday and the death parrot was far more interesting for me to wrestle with, the existential nature of their conversations and what they want to do with their lives, and well, with the rest of Tuesday's life, at least, and so on. And so I found that interesting, but in the end, I actually only awarded this film 2 out of 5 stars. For all of the things that I consider potential, everything that I've mentioned pretty much, right? Like all of these themes, the performances, these charming little moments scattered throughout, all of that is just potential, and it was left as potential. I don't think it really executes it all that well. However, if you get a chance to see this whenever it comes out, this Friday, by the way. And whether you agree or disagree, let me know at mediumcoolpod@gmail.com, or you can message me on at mediumcoolpod on Instagram. I would love to hear from you, and I'm very interested in your thoughts on Tuesday. I'm going to go ahead and shut up now, and we will move on to Sasquatch Sunset here in just a moment. I'll be right back. All right, everyone. Sasquatch Sunset came out this year, directed by the Zellner brothers, David and Nathan, written by David Zellner. The cast, Jesse Eisenberg, Riley Keough, Christoph Zajac-Dinick, and Nathan Zellner, one of the two directors. Release date, April 19th, 2024. So I am behind on this one. However, I did see it a couple weeks ago. Streaming, you can rent it. And stream it on Prime. Sasquatch Sunset is a unique cinematic experience that takes viewers on a journey through the misty forests of North America. The film, directed by the Zellner brothers, follows a family of Sasquatches, possibly the last of their kind, as they embark on an absurdist, epic, and at times hilarious adventure over the course of 1 year. The audience is treated to a poetic, almost documentary-like tale of survival, where the Sasquatch's daily life is depicted with a level of detail and rigor that is both unforgettable and deeply moving at times, not always. The cast, including Jesse Eisenberg and Riley Keough, bring these mythical creatures to life under layers of prosthetics and costumes, delivering performances that resonate with the audience despite the absence of dialogue. There is no dialogue in this film, by the way, and you will spend the first probably 20 minutes trying to figure out who is who, just so you know, because you're going to be like, which one's Jesse Eisenberg? But, you know, I think as the Sasquatches navigate love and loss and the hopes for the future in a strange way, they find themselves on a collision course with the ever-changing world around them. And we see this pretty often, especially when we see them finally cross a road for perceivably the first time, and they're just panicking about there being a road here and it's no longer nature, right? So the ever-changing world is always present, and I think the film's storytelling is enhanced by the absence of spoken language. Personally, I actually really like the idea that they rely instead on, you know, grunts and screams and physical expression to communicate the narrative. I did find that pretty interesting. Sasquatch Sunset is kind of a meditation of sorts as well, on nature and our relationship to it. I think it offers a reflection on the mysteries within our world and the impact of humanity's footprint on the environment. I think the film kind of aims to preserve its intrigue, I guess, and the emotional journey it promises. And I think it allows viewers to discover the wonders firsthand of these ideas that it explores. The film delves into a variety of themes that add layers of depth to the narrative also, I think. Existence and evolution, of course. You know, the film obviously portrays the Sasquatch family living in a world that is evolving without them, pretty much. And I think it highlights themes of existence and adaptation in a changing environment pretty well. You know, humanity and resilience is kind of another theme that I wrote down as I was thinking about the movie. Despite its lack of dialogue, the film explores the universal themes of humanity and resilience, showcasing the Sasquatch family's struggle to survive in the natural world. You know, this is a natural world that they are comfortable with, but because of all these changes, despite things looking like they should be safe or comfortable, they find themselves in a lot of strange predicaments because of it. And so I think the film also touches on the fear associated with the unknown and the impact of environmental destruction, suggesting a commentary on humanity's potential extinction, honestly, which is interesting. And this film really could just be a silent film. Really, I think there are a lot of comparisons to silent cinema in it as well, using a lot of nonverbal communication to express complex emotions and relationships, emphasizing the power of actions over words, you know, so it's more of a show, don't tell kind of a story. And the Sasquatches are depicted as really innocent beings, and the film does not shy away from the inherent violence of the natural world, reflecting pretty heavily on the primal aspects of existence. There is a great sequence where the Sasquatch family comes across a creature that is being eaten by a, I forget what it is. It's like a leopard or like a panther or something. I honestly cannot remember which cat it is, but it's a big cat that can kill you. Okay. And the thing it's eating is something that this Sasquatch family knew. And so it's they're just completely horrified, and it's just like eating guts out of its stomach. It's pretty cool. But anyways, you know, the all of the themes that I briefly just discussed are all kind of woven into the fabric of the film, and it kind of creates a, dare I say, rich and thought-provoking experience that resonates, or at least resonated with me, I'll say, on multiple levels in some ways. Okay. Now, I, for as much as I'm kind of talking the film up, I'm not like 100% on board with this movie, but I will say that I found it to be very mesmerizing, and it kept my attention from beginning to end. Luckily, it is like barely 90 minutes, okay? So it is relatively short. If it had been any longer, this movie probably would have lost me. Not because it's slow or anything. I don't mind that at all, but just because of its literally just what it is, you know, it just does not need to be any longer than that. I think Sasquatch Sunset is a film that, much like the elusive creatures that it portrays, is a rare and curious little spectacle. And the Zellner Brothers deserve some credit for creating something unique like this in this day and age. I think it offers, like I said, at least in my own experience, kind of a mesmerizing glimpse into the lives of this family of Sasquatches. And it tells a narrative that I think the strongest part of the narrative is the environmental aspect of it. The rest of it, I don't find particularly interesting, just kind of watching them survive, although it is kind of mesmerizing just to sit there and watch them like you're watching some weird documentary. Though I know I said that earlier, it doesn't feel like, you know, it's a movie, of course, like it does. It's not shot completely like a documentary, but you do just watch them live. I mean, that is literally what you do for 90 minutes. I don't want this to be misleading. You watch Sasquatches live in the woods for 90 minutes. But I think the film's strongest, I don't know what to say, strongest little suit here is its ability to kind of captivate. The Zellners have crafted a world that is both alien and intimately familiar. And so it draws the audience into the daily existence of these mythical beings with a level of detail that is nothing short of hypnotic at times. I think that's an accurate statement. The performances, you know, I'll highlight Jesse Eisenberg and Riley Keough, but really all the performances are commendable. And I think they bring a sense of gravitas to these silent roles. Gravitas is probably a strong word, actually, but still, I think it brings life. We'll just say that. However, I do think that the film struggles with its identity a bit. I think it oscillates a bit between an absurdist comedy and a poignant drama. I think it kind of left me adrift a bit. Going back to the Tuesday thing, I think this is kind of a tonal mess at times. But there is kind of a vibe where it's like Wes Anderson movies are very Wes Anderson, almost to a fault, right? I love Wes Anderson, but you know, like they're really, really strongly Wes Anderson, but then there will be like humor and it's funny. And then there'll be a moment like in Royal Tenenbaums where, tennis homie slits his wrists and does it to the Elliott Smith song, Needle in the Hay. That tears me up. I get teared up every time. Right. So like Wes Anderson can do emotions and ridiculous comedy and his super visual style and all of that. He can find a blend there. Sasquatch Sunset does that at times. A lot of times I don't think it does. And I think sometimes it takes the absurdity so far that then I'm kind of in that mood and I can't take the drama seriously. And then when I finally get into the drama of it, because there is a really intense scene. All I'll say is this. There's a scene where the Sasquatch family wakes up and one of the family members is not breathing. Okay. And they begin trying to resuscitate it, like the Sasquatch, the dying Sasquatch or dead Sasquatch, whatever you want to say, this family member, they're trying to resuscitate it, but they're like these like weird, like they don't know how, right? So they're just like hitting it and like, you know, pushing on it and trying to figure it out. And that's a really intense scene, honestly. I remember I was watching with my buddy Thrasher. We were like, fuck, dude. Like, because it was like really gnarly. And so I think the film can really hit these emotional points. I just don't think it has like a good balance all the time. And that really, really made me struggle with being able to feel the movie, which I think it really encourages you to do based on the way that it is presented, in that kind of slower, you're just watching them live. I think it really builds an atmosphere. The problem is, I think the tonal, the two tones or the two or three tones that it has kind of compete with one another and sometimes kind of kill that atmospheric level. But the cinematography is undeniably beautiful. I will give it that. I think it captures the misty forests of this kind of what feels like kind of a dreamlike quality of these, you know, Pacific Northwest, I'm assuming, forest that I think complements the film's kind of ethereal subjects. The beauty of the visuals cannot fully compensate for the film's narrative shortcomings, I think, but the themes of nature, survival, and humanity's impact on the environment, you know, I think that the cinematography can really tackle, the film in a way that really highlights those themes. I think that the film overall is definitely worth seeing if you're interested in more of an, I don't want to call it avant-garde at all because that's a bit too extreme, but if you're interested in kind of an esoteric experience, this is a one-of-a-kind experience these days. I don't think we get a lot of movies that a lot of people see, and I think just for the fact of Jesse Eisenberg and Riley Keough being in this, I think that will get more eyes on this. And much like Tuesday, this movie is very polarized. It does not have good ratings across the board, nor does it have exclusively bad ratings across the board. It is a decent spread, though, of course, it kind of peaks in the middle. And that's kind of where I am with it. I gave this film a 2.5 out of 5. And I'll tell you why, because I do encourage you to watch this, though. Please don't take that as a super bad thing. This movie is like 88 minutes long. It's an easy watch. It's not a problem. I think the experience I had was maybe a step above 2.5, but I have zero interest in ever watching this again. Like, it does not have anything that really resonated with me. I mean, as soon as the movie was done, I was kind of over it, you know? And so I think the experience itself, while I was in the moment, I was buying into it. But by the end of the film, I didn't feel like what I thought was paying off and leading me somewhere. It ultimately didn't quite get me there. And that kind of brought the film down overall for me. I just didn't think it had as much to say about the things that it wanted to talk about. And that would have been really cool. So just know that this is going to be a little slow and people are going to be barfing and throwing shit and lactating. And I mean, there are a lot of fluids and there's a lot of, I mean, this, when it talks about absurdist comedy, I mean, this movie gets almost juvenile. Okay. But then, but it is like also pretty funny a lot of times too. There's a point where one of the Sasquatches eats a poisonous berry. Or a bunch of them, really. And they just start tripping out. Dude, this Sasquatch starts freaking out. And it's pretty funny to see them just like running around, like kind of rampaging through this forest, just like puking. And, you know, it's like gross, but it's also like weird. I don't know. It's an interesting experience that, despite my mediocre rating, I encourage people to go check it out. Get, you know, find out for yourself how you feel about it. Yeah, it's weird. That's all I'll say about it. If you have any different feelings and you've had a chance to see it, please hit us up. MediumCoolPod on Instagram or MediumCoolPod@gmail.com. I will be back in just a moment with the last film we're going to cover on this episode, The Last Stop in Yuma County. All right. The Last Stop in Yuma County, which came out on May 10th, 2024. That was an internet and limited release, at least. This is written and directed by Francis Galluppi. The cast is Jim Cummings, Jocelyn Donahue, Richard Brake, and Nicholas Logan, to name a few. And there are quite a few people in here. You'll recognize their faces, even if you don't know their names. It's a lot of folks like that. You can rent this on Prime currently. And The Last Stop in Yuma County is a gripping thriller set against the backdrop of the Arizona desert. The film follows the harrowing ordeal of a young knife salesman who inadvertently becomes entangled in a hostage situation at a remote gas station. As two desperate bank robbers hide from the law, tensions escalate, and the salesman must use his wits and his knives to navigate the dangerous predicament. Now, the narrative unfolds in a diner next to a gas station where the diverse patrons all are, each with their own kind of stories and secrets. We see a lot of those play out as we go. And they're forced to confront their fears and alliances as the situation kind of grows increasingly more volatile. The movie weaves a tale of suspense, survival, and the unexpected connections that can arise in the face of adversity. Now, I want to say that this is one of those films kind of like Reservoir Dogs, where everything kind of takes place in one location. We do get a few moments outside of that, but as it, like the way that Reservoir Dogs kind of unfolds in, you know, the warehouse. Excuse me. Last Stop in Yuma County all takes place in this diner in the gas station property, essentially. Most of that time, the vast majority takes place in the diner. So it's one of those movies. We get to know all of these different cast of characters, basically. Each of them have, different details in their story that kind of add more weight to what's going on. And I'll be the first to say this is I don't want to say by far, but this is notably my favorite film of the three I'm covering today. because despite it having a few shortcomings, this movie is definitely worth seeing. It's a lot of fun. Definitely has it is, despite how good of a film it is, this movie is entertaining as fuck. And it was very fun to watch. I felt like things were changing, twists and all kinds of stuff flipping around at every corner. It left me and my buddy Thrasher just like talking about it afterwards, like, what would you do in this situation? Or whenever so-and-so was in this at this point, like, would you have done A or would you have done B? You know, we were just like exploring these ideas. It was just a really entertaining time. This is one of my favorite movies actually that I watched with him. Very, very fun. So The Last Stop in Yuma County kind of carves out a niche in the thriller genre, I think, with its sharp narrative and the keen edge of suspense. I think it's directed with a steady hand. The film kind of transports viewers to the sun-scorched expanses of Arizona, where a seemingly mundane stop at a gas station, you know, can spiral into a tense standoff of sorts. And I talk about the sun-scorched expanses of Arizona. This is a perfect example of an area of the movie that I think actually lacks, and I think that's in the kind of overall vision of the movie. This movie very, very easily could have made you feel the sun-scorched desert, okay? But I'd say nary a bead of sweat is shown on the face of a single character, right? There's even like the air conditioning is out at this diner. Like that's like a talking point. And no one has a menu and they're just fanning themselves. You know what I mean? Take a page out of the Spike Lee book for Do the Right Thing, you know, where you can just feel the hot summer day of that movie. You know what I mean? And it's little details like that that hold The Last Stop in Yuma County being just this really fucking awesome movie. You know what I mean? like just so awesome to me, right? I think it's just lacking the details that can help you feel what is happening in the movie rather than them just simply telling you a story executed in a good way. But it had the potential to be a great, entertaining time, almost in like a popcorn flick type way. Really, really good time. I think the film's real true strength lies in its ability to maintain that kind of simmering tension that keeps audiences kind of on the edge of their seats, you know? I think, to just use another Tarantino reference, I think think of something like Inglourious Basterds. Think of the French farmer sequence that opens the movie. And Colonel Hans Landa comes in and he's talking, and they talk for a good like 15 fucking minutes or something. And then you just when it starts to lose you, right? Because they're just kind of talking about logistics and whatnot by the end. And then the camera slowly descends underneath the floorboards, and you see there's a Jewish family hiding underneath. And the tension just spikes at an all-time high at that point. You were riveted by through dialogue, you know, and performance, you know, and then it just starts to die down, and then you're just spiked again. That's kind of what this movie does, just on a lesser, like, it's not that good, right? Like, I think Inglourious Basterds is kind of unbelievable in that way, in terms of how dialogue and performance can really just hold an audience. And that's kind of a masterclass, that sequence in the German bar, the basement bar in Inglourious Basterds. Those two sequences are just kind of masterclasses in that sort of a thing. And though Yuma County doesn't do anything on that level per se, it does hold your attention in a similar way, where you'll learn a new thing that spikes that tension throughout the whole movie. And my buddy and I were watching it, and we were just like, oh. Like, the whole time we're just like, what is going on? Because like stuff just kept happening, and you hear this detail, and then someone would find out about that detail, and then it would just spike everything again. And what a great job it does to kind of keep you on the edge. I think the setting, being in a diner adjacent to the gas station, you know, I think it serves as kind of a pressure cooker as well, and it kind of unfolds the drama. The whole gimmick is that the gas, they're out of gas. And this is the only place within 100 miles where you can get gas. So all these people are kind of stranded there until the gas truck gets there, but the gas truck's late. So everyone's just sitting there waiting. So it is that pressure cooker thing where everyone's also just annoyed. They're hot. They're pissed. Like, they're frustrated that they can't go. And it's, again, then you start learning all these little details about each person. You have these knife salesman who's pretty content just hanging out, a little annoyed. You have the bank robbers. That automatically adds just an inherent tension, right? Because you have these people that are they are the pressure cooker, right? Like, that really is going to escalate things quickly if anything pops off. So that's a lot of fun. But I think the film really allows the ensemble cast to shine as they kind of peel back the layers of not only their characters' complex motivations, but also just the narrative overall. And I think while the movie occasionally veers into kind of predictable territory at times, again, I sound like I just contradicted myself. I talked about how things are like kind of popping off here and there, keeping the tension and spiking, and in a way it's unpredictable. But even within that unpredictability, we've seen a lot of these things happen before. So even though in retrospect you can look back and go, some of these things are a bit predictable, the experience of watching it isn't ruined. However, it does sometimes veer into that predictable territory at times. It's the moments of genuine human connection and the exploration of survival instincts that I think really elevate and make those predictable moments even more understandable or relatable or tolerable at the very least. I think the cinematography deserves a special mention here, though I don't think it's like some phenomenal thing. This is another thing in the vision of the film, much like helping us feel the heat that we're supposed to be feeling. You know, the pressure cooker thing could only be enhanced by making us feel what these people have to live in for this time, despite all of the stuff cooking below the surface. You know, these bank robbers trying to escape, or these, you know, this poor server who's just trying to make a buck and get through this, you know, or the knife salesman, or this old couple that just shows up, or whatever. Like, you know, all these people kind of have their own motives and things, but it would be so nice to feel those things. But what I mean about the cinematography is I think that it does do a pretty decent job of making the diner feel pretty claustrophobic. And though I would love, again, to see it have more of a style, I think it is perfectly adequate for this movie and does certain things pretty well. So all that said, you know, I think although it lacks a distinct style that really could elevate it, the plot twists and everything, the tightening of the screw kind of mentality going into this, what a fucking fun time. I encourage you to check out The Last Stop in Yuma County. Again, performances across the board are pretty good. The writing is actually pretty strong. I think the writing is quite good. I think Galluppi is going to have a great career if he keeps this sort of thing up, because I think this is the kind of thing people could really get behind, especially if it got a wider release. This is I don't know if this movie is going to be that. Right, I don't think this is what's going to get him notoriety, but I think, man, if he does something like this again, I will be very, very happy to write and review that for sure. So definitely go check out The Last Stop in Yuma County. Again, you can rent that on Prime right now, I believe. And I gave this a 3.5 out of 5, actually. Had a really, really great time watching this. Excuse me, so sorry, I keep clearing my throat. But I think that The Last Stop in Yuma County, despite it being a 3.5, which is still very good for me, I think it's really fun. I think it really is just those little details that it's lacking that could really, really, really elevate this movie. All that said, though, that's mostly just kind of visual and atmospheric. The narrative and everything will hold you. If you've seen it and you agree or disagree, please let me know. MediumCoolPod on Instagram. You can also email me at MediumCoolPod@gmail.com. I am going to go clear my throat and drink some water. I'll be back with the outro here in just a second. Thank you so much for listening. I wanted to make sure that I gave you an update on some things coming out here soon. But first, I do want to share with you, and I'm pulling this up on Letterboxd now, so I'm just stalling, but I do want to share with you some of the movies. You know, of course, today we talked about Tuesday, Sasquatch Sunset, and The Last Stop in Yuma County. I was also able to see The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which I plan to review. Sometimes I Think About Dying, Late Night with the Devil, and Monkey Man from 2024. There have been a couple of others, but I'm going to hold off on those and try to get caught up with these for content on the show. So that's probably a couple of episodes. Again, I may spread those out a little bit. I may do them back to back. We'll freaking see. I'm working on the schedule now. Leave me alone. I also watched Godzilla Minus One, and I will be covering that here soon in the coming episodes regardless, just to make sure that that request gets met. I will let you know this. What an interesting movie. I'm excited to talk about that one. As for movies coming to theaters, again, Tuesday gets a wider release this Friday, but it has been out since June 7th, limited release, so a lot of people in my neck of the woods will probably be getting it this Friday, luckily, so that's coming out. Pixar's Inside Out 2 comes out this Friday, so make sure that you check that out. I'll be curious to see that. Maybe I'll even cover that on the show. We'll see. But all that said, I really appreciate you guys listening. Thank you so much. Just watch movies. Let me know what you think of them. I would love to hear what you think of any of the movies that you're able to see, especially if they're 2024 flicks. I mean, any of them. But I'm on kind of the 2024 kick right now, trying to get caught up with some of the movies I have available to me and things like that. So I'm looking forward to sharing them with you. But until next time, as always, good night, good luck, and take it easy.